Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of World of Prophecy. It was 1947. A young Bedouin nomad scaled a cliff on the northwestern shore of the Dead Sea. It was only about 13 miles from Jerusalem, due east, and some 10 miles from the ancient historic town of Jericho. Now, as this young Bedouin began to gather his goat herd that winter day, he saw two openings in the rocks. And being a person of some curiosity, he went to those openings to see what he could find. Juma Muhammad was his name. And as he looked into the openings, he saw what appeared to be pottery, or pieces thereof. He called out to his two cousins, who were also tending the goat herd, and he told them of his discovery. He said, maybe this cave has hidden treasure. Perhaps it has some ancient archaeological finds, old pieces of pottery, other small bits of historical matter that we can sell at the market. One of the cousins, Muhammad Ahmed El-Hamid, squeezed through the cave opening. Well, he found only pottery. But then, suddenly, he came upon what was an incredible discovery. There in the cave, he uncovered what appeared to be fragments of leather with writings on them. These were the beginnings of the finds of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, this was in the year of 1947, but as the years went by, and especially during the years 1952 to 1956, a number of these leather fragments, and then even a copper scroll made of copper metal, were found. Scrolls that were very badly deteriorated, some no larger than your fingernail. And as it would have it, these scrolls, and by the way, there have been some 800 that have been found, of these 800, perhaps only 40% of them have been deciphered, we're told. 60% remain totally mysterious. It's almost like an incredible, huge jigsaw puzzle, putting these things together and then attempting to translate them and to make sense of these very badly deteriorated scrolls. And thus began something that has become very mysterious, and yet there have now been literally hundreds of books and articles written focusing on the Dead Sea Scrolls. Some have said that this will mean the end of traditional Christianity. Others have said that the Dead Sea Scrolls simply confirm the Book of Acts, the New Testament, and confirm the Old Testament as well. Now, the Dead Sea Scrolls are now housed permanently in the city of Jerusalem. The Antiquities Department of the Israeli government supposedly has control of them. But not too long ago, they came to America. In fact, I have in my hands the Dallas Morning News newspaper, Sunday, May 16th, 1993, page 10J, full page in color, having many pictures of the scrolls from the Dead Sea. You see, the Dead Sea Scrolls came to America. They were on display at the Library of Congress in 1993 in Washington, D.C. Not only that, but the exhibit moved from Washington, D.C. to New York and then on to San Francisco to give the American people a chance to see these scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls have been something to be a point of great controversy. Now, it's very interesting that we see that the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in 1947, but they were kept in a very unusual museum and housed there. And the scholars working on these scrolls, as you will see, were very unusual scholars, so-called. But these scrolls were brought to and kept in the archives of the Rockefeller Museum. That's right, friends, the Rockefeller Museum. Now, we're talking about the John D. Rockefeller family, the David Rockefellers. Now, what do the Rockefellers have to do with a museum in Jerusalem? Not only that, I want you to understand that this museum is actually in the Jordanian area of Jerusalem. In other words, it was in the Arab sector of the city of Jerusalem. It was not until 1967, during the Six-Day War, that Israel gained control of that area of Jerusalem. And at that time, in 1967, its own biblical scholars, so-called, from an organization known as the Shrine of the Book, headed by its curator, Mr. Megan Broshi, gained control of the Rockefeller Museum and its holdings. Now, the interesting thing about the Rockefeller Museum, and I have done a lot of research on it, is that this same museum seems to be the fount for a number of activities devoted to restoring the great temple of Jerusalem of the Jews. Now, you will recall that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in our New Testament is the prophecy that in the last days, just before Jesus returns, the great temple of the Jews will be rebuilt again. It will be a place of evil, however, because although it purports to be the great temple of God, the Jews will reinstitute, will renew their sacrifices. But we know as Christians that Jesus is the one sacrifice for all time. He died on the cross for your sin and for my sins. For we read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And so it is that Jesus Christ gave his life. He laid down his life for you and me, my friend. He was the one sacrifice, Paul said, for all time. And we make a mockery of Jesus' sacrifice if we again begin the sacrifice of animals in our churches, our synagogues, or even in a rebuilt temple. For the shed blood of animals will no longer suffice, since we have had the shed blood of the Messiah of the Jews and the Gentiles, in fact, of all peoples, Jesus Christ. Now, it's a fascinating thing that we understand then that at the Rockefeller Museum today, there is even a scale model of the city of Jerusalem on display, which includes the rebuilt temple of the Jews, but does not have the temple of Omar, the mosque, the dome, where the Muslims now believe that Muhammad is the very spot where Muhammad ascended unto heaven. It is their third most holy place, most holy and sacred site. And yet the Jews wish to rebuild their temple in that very location or just adjacent to it. And that, of course, is one of the reasons for great turmoil in Jerusalem in the Middle East today between Muslims and Jews and, of course, even Christians. What reason does the Rockefeller Museum have for even existing in the city of Jerusalem? In what way did they gain access to the Dead Sea Scrolls that were found at the Qumran caves? How is it that they are now attempting to inspire the Rockefeller Museum, that is, the rebuilding of the temple. Why do they care? Why are they involved? Well, my friends, they are involved. There is more here than meets the eye about the Dead Sea Scrolls. You see, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, the people that I've exposed in such books as Millennium and Dark Majesty, have as their goal a new world order, a financial Babylon, commercial Babylon, that is the equivalent of the prophesied Babylon of Revelation 13, 17, and 18. It is a Babylon that is inspired by the workings of the evil one, the adversary, Satan or Lucifer. Not too long ago, a story came out of the Israeli press. There was much applause and accolades given Lord J. Rothschild from Europe. Now remember that the Rothschild family perhaps is the richest in the world, with many interlocking directorates of corporations and banks, including Rockefeller-owned institutions in the United States. And it was Lord J. Rothschild who gave a huge donation. I don't remember the exact amount, but it was tens of millions of dollars given to a library, a special library. This library would be used to house all of the books of the Supreme Court of the nation of Israel. And Lord Rothschild, being a Jew, donated the money for that library. There was only one thing that intrigued me about his donation, and that is that he specified in his bequest that the library would be built in a specific architectural manner. Indeed, Mr. Rothschild, this mega bucks banker, said that the library of this Supreme Court building, that in the very center would be this huge reading room with all of the books of the Jews, including their holy texts. And it would be shaped, this room, he said, in the middle of this huge building, the Supreme Court building, it would be shaped in the form of a pyramid, a Egyptian pyramid. So there obviously then is a connection between Egyptian magic and religion, Mr. Rothschild, and of course, unfortunately, the Jews, whom God told to come out of Egypt, agreed to the stipulation of Mr. Rothschild. And so it is that we have both Rothschild and Rockefeller with their influences there in the Middle East, in the very core of Israel, and in fact, in Jerusalem itself. And there, the Dead Sea Scrolls were taken. Now, the interesting thing about the Dead Sea Scrolls is that there were eight scholars assigned the task of deciphering the scrolls. Now, I want you to understand that it was only in 1990, 1991 that we began to be told some of the contents of the scrolls. Now, there were some early reports that were put out by a man named John Allegro, one of the eight researchers. And by the way, he was fired. Or at least dismissed because he released some of the information on the Dead Sea Scrolls. It appears to be that's what happened to Mr. Allegro. But we find out that the eight scholars who were appointed to decipher the scrolls were led by a man who happened to be a Catholic priest, a Dominican father. He was head of a group called Ecole Biblique. And this was a French group. His name, Roland Deval. That's capital D-E, capital V-A-U-X. Roland Deval. Father Roland Deval, a Dominican priest. Now, three other priests were involved in the deciphering of the Dead Sea Scrolls. All three of those priests were Jesuit priests. Now you know from the various intelligence examiners that I have issued over the past months, I've exposed the Jesuit order and their Black Pope as a very evil group. And here we have the Jesuit order having the dominant representation on this committee that was assigned the task of deciphering and releasing to the public the meaning of the Dead Sea Scrolls. And it was, of course, headed by a Dominican father, Roland Duval. Now, sometimes after Duval left, a man named John Strugnell, also a Catholic, was given the commission of heading up this committee. Mr. Strugnell was fired from his post, however, in 1990 when it was alleged that he was an anti-Semite and had made statements saying that the Jewish religion was a quote-unquote horrible religion. Now, you might say, well, the Jews certainly would have never agreed that Mr. Strugnell be appointed to head up the Dead Sea Scrolls research. But you see, Professor Strugnell, in fact, was known by the Jews who were involved in this project to have an anti-Semitic mindset. Now, you read from the newspaper, the British newspaper Independent, of December 12, 1990, which quoted the curator of the Shrine of the Book, the Israeli group, heads up the Antiquities Department, responsible for the research into the Dead Sea Scrolls, Mr. Megan Broshi, said that he had known of Professor Strugnell's anti-Semitism, so-called, for 20 years. In fact, Mr. Broshi said that Strugnell's predecessor, the Dominican Father Roland Duval, was also anti-Semite. Now, what very strange colleagues. He knew that these people were anti-Semite, and yet he had no opposition for 20 years in the case of Mr. Strugnell or Professor Strugnell heading up the Dead Sea Scrolls project. What a strange thing that the Jewish man in charge of this project, cooperating with the Catholic, Jesuit, and Dominican priest responsible for the project, seemed to be so chummy that they didn't mind anti-Semitism. It didn't seem to be a problem for them. Now, we'll get more into this in just a moment. Now, I want you to understand what we're talking about then with the Dead Sea Scrolls is a connection with the wealthy Rockefeller and Rothschild dynasties. This is the same clique that gave us the United Nations and the Trilateral Commission. We see, too, that the scholars, however, appear to be part of the Vatican network, and yet they were approved by the Israeli authorities. And for four decades, these people have worked on the Dead Sea Scrolls, certainly from 1947 up to 1994, they continued to work on these scrolls, well over three decades and going on four. At the same time, for years, these so-called scholars were criticized because they would not release the scrolls to the public or to other scholars. So it was simply a little tiny band put in charge by the government of Israel and by the Rockefeller Museum, who refused to release their findings and even refused to release pictures of the scrolls to the general public. Now, why were these? Why was the general public denied access for so long? Until finally, in 1991, a group called the Huntington Library out in California, which just happened to have photographs of the scrolls, which supposedly it had agreed not to release to the public, suddenly decided on their own, without authority from the Rockefeller Museum or the Shrine of the Book, Antiquities Department back in Jerusalem, release these to the public. The question is, who is the Huntington Library in California? Who owns the Huntington Library in California. Do the Rockefellers have something to do with it? Are they the ones that gave the order to release finally the scrolls? And why now, after all of these years, have the Dead Sea Scrolls been released to the public? Are what we are seeing truly the scrolls? Are they fictitious documents, manufactured? Can they really be dated back to the time of Jesus? We shall see. Now, I want you to understand the possibility definitely exists of fakes here. Remember this. Remember, it was just a few years ago that a man came out with a book that was reported to be the autobiography of billionaire Howard Hughes here in America. And Howard Hughes, at least his voice, came out of hiding in Las Vegas and said, no, I did not give or grant interviews to this author. I believe the author's name was Clifford Irving, if my memory serves me correctly. But Mr. Hughes said, these are fakes. This is a fake biography or autobiography of me. And the author then was exposed and later did a prison term for that and other hoaxes. Now, at the same time, it was only a few years ago that a man in Germany claimed that he had found the lost diaries of Adolf Hitler. Obviously, these would be worth millions of dollars if you could come up with Hitler's diary in his own words, unraveling the mindset of this paranoid man who had caused misery and death to so many in the flames of World War II. And it was that a great British historian and a person who was supposedly an expert at deciphering handwriting traveled to Germany and verified the Hitler diaries as authentic and genuine. And so here was a man who had supposedly found these diaries in East Germany and that was going to make millions. They were released and they were printed in the Der Spiegel, which is sort of like our Time or Life magazines. And they were to be serialized in various magazines and around the world to be published, millions of dollars involved. And even with experts, handwriting experts, historians saying, yes, these were genuine, within a few short months, it was determined that they were indeed hoaxes. They were fakes. And the man who had come up with the diaries was forced to admit that it was a scam on the public. Now remember, in our very lifetimes, these things have come about. And yet, these are fakes that we know about. How many have come up on the scene? Works of art, works of literature, supposed historic documents, signatures that even now people believe are genuine but are fakes. Can we say for sure that all the Michelangelo paintings in the museums of the world are really, truly the work of Michelangelo? Even the top art experts would say, we just don't know. We're not sure. So my friends, when we go back 2,000 years ago, and the archaeologists, the supposed scholars at the Rockefeller Museum and the Book of the Shrine in Jerusalem, and now various scholars across the United States that have seen the photographs of the scrolls, they want to assure us that these are genuine. But frankly, the scrolls are not being allowed to be touched and seen and tested by anyone outside the privileged few elite that have access to them. And ultimately, we're talking about the Rockefeller Kabul. 2,000 years ago, they say that sometime in the era of 50 BC to around 125 AD, according to carbon dating, which is notoriously inaccurate, by the way, but that's where they date these things back to. And they say that we can believe that they are indeed that old. Really? Just the way the American people fell for Mr. Irving's autobiography of Howard Hughes, just the way the handwriting expert fell for Hitler's supposed diary. 2,000 years ago, badly deteriorated fragments of leather, a copper scroll so corroded over the years that they were afraid to open it. And when they did, so faded, it was barely even decipherable at all that it was writing. And we are asked to believe that these are genuine. Well, we're going to get, when we come back, we're going to be talking on the other side about some of, this tape, about the reasons why I'm convinced that the Dead Sea Scrolls are a hoax. And if they're not a hoax, the reason that they have been kept away from us is because I believe there is a hidden agenda at work. An agenda to bring Gnostic New Age occultic teachings into the Christian church. An agenda to discredit the book of Acts, to discredit the Bible as we know it, and thus undermine and subvert all of Christianity. That is the true role of the Dead Sea Scrolls. And perhaps that is the reason the Rockefeller and Rothschild dynasties have been involved in these Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, friends, I want you to understand that there is a plan for an unholy Bible of the New Age world religion. Now, remember in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, we're told the importance of the Scriptures. Paul wrote this. He said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." The Bible is important. We're told in the Bible that God's Word is settled in heaven. Well, maybe it's not settled here on earth unless you know the mind of Christ, because there are those with these false New Age versions coming out, and we've talked about that, and Gail Ritlinger documented that in her book, New Age Bible Versions, that I highly recommend you get a copy of. Now, the fact is that the people that I call the secret brotherhood or the Illuminati or the Order most definitely want a single Bible to unify all the world, but not necessarily the Christian Bible. They are already making plans for a false unified Bible, and they've already mapped out the major elements it's to contain. Now, I discuss this in great depth in my book, Dark Secrets of the New Age, beginning on page 177. Chapter 14 is entitled The Unholy Bible of the New Age World Religion. Now, when we come back on the other side of this tape, we're going to discuss this unholy Bible. We're going to see where the Dead Sea Scrolls fit into it. And I will show you why the Dead Sea Scrolls are deadly and why they're diabolical. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Intelligence Examiner. Well, this is Tex Mars, and this is the Intelligence Examiner. We're discussing the Dead Sea Scrolls. And my Intelligence Examiner report, beware the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Illuminati plot to pollute the Word of God. In my book, Dark Secrets of the New Age, I quote a number of New Age authorities and theologians who actually are quite bold in telling us their plans. One is a woman named Vera Stanley Alder, who wrote a revealing book called When Humanity Comes of Age. She says there is a plan, and there will be a New Age Christ who will have a spiritual cabinet. He will represent a world religion, she says, in which every denomination, creed, and type of belief will find its place fully appreciated and without fear or favor. Now, Miss Alder talks about a blueprint being needed, a new Bible, as it were, to guide us in this new world religion. And I want to quote her. She says, quote, "The ancient wisdom, as it existed in all old religions, will be sifted, pieced together, correlated, and synthesized with the finding of modern scientists and the developments in religious fields." Now, friends, one of those developments in religious fields is the supposed archaeological discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, another one who's discussed this the coming unholy Bible is a woman named Lola Davis. She wrote a very interesting book called Toward a New Age World Religion. That's Toward a New Age World Religion. Miss Davis says that in addition to the existing Bibles in all religions, there is now new knowledge available that will be included in an upcoming unified Bible for the whole world. She says, quote, "In this century, religious data previously unavailable has been found or released. Among these, says Miss Davis, are the Dead Sea Scrolls, the vast treasures of religious writings from Tibet, Christian writings that she claims were deleted from the Bible during the fourth century, but now have been found, the so-called Apocrypha, the Forgotten Gospels." She says she would include the writings of the Catholic heretic priest, Teilhard de Chardin. The knowledge of the ancient wisdom, including the writings of the Tibetan master, Joal Kul, from the Alice Bailey books. She says they're the writings of the mystics, the materials offered by the Rosicrucians, the many books on Buddhism and Hindu philosophies. She says much of this knowledge could be advantageously used in synthesizing, that is, bringing together the major religions to create a world religion for the New Age. Now, my friends, I want you to understand that the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 22, verses 18, 19, warned us against adding to or subtracting from the Bible. And that's what anyone who comes with these Dead Sea Scrolls, the Bible is here. We have the Bible. God has preserved it. And I believe the King James is the truly inspired, preserved Word of God. But here we have people with a Dead Sea Scroll saying, hey, this can be the basis for a new Bible. We'll add to the Bible. Plus, of course, all of these other unholy sources, from Desjardins to Buddhist. But read what John said. He said, and I'm quoting, this is right out of God's Word. This is what John was told by God. He was told, quote, "If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life." My friends, it is a very, very dangerous thing to add to or take away from the Word of God. And yet we have people that are involved in this exact project. The Masons, for example, they want to bring to us the ancient wisdom of Egypt and Persia. They believe in the mystics, in Mithraism and its rites, the restoration of the mysteries. If you don't believe it, my friends, simply get my audio tape report that I offer, the mystical rituals of Freemasonry. I go through all 33 degrees of Scottish Rite Freemasonry in that tape. I think it's entitled "Their God is the Devil." You'll find out. You'll discover for sure that their God is the devil. But yet they have these mystery teachings in their writings. Now, in addition, there is a group called the Priory of Zion. They were exposed in the book by J.R. Church called Guardians of the Grail. They believe that the ancient sect of Jews called the Essenes, who did in fact, according to historians, exist during the days of Jesus or right before that, lived out in the wilderness area. These are the people, by the way, that the Dead Sea Scrolls scholars say wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls, those books, the Essenes. That's capital E-S-S-E-N-E-S. The Essenes sect. Now, the Priory of Zion is a very evil group, a secret society of very rich Europeans mainly, which also has a strong following in America among various secret society groups. They are putting out the lie that Jesus was just a man. But they say that Jesus, in fact, married Mary Magdalene and fathered children. And from this bloodline, there is today in the world descendants. They say that they, the members of the Priory of Zion, are from the very bloodline of Jesus. And therefore, they're destined to rule this world with their divine blood. Now, you may remember the movie The Last Temptation of Christ was an echo of this particular blasphemy. Now, one man named Peter Lemassurier has written a book called The Armageddon Script about this, and he wrote another book called The Passover Plot, in which he says that the Essene sect, that Jesus was really an Essene, and that Jesus never really died on the cross, but his accomplices in the Essene sect gave him a potion, a chemical, a drug that allowed him to appear as if dead. It was a drug much like is used in certain voodoo sects to create zombies. And his heart mechanism, the rhythmic breathing ceased. And for all who would see him, he appeared to be dead on the cross. And then it was that the Roman guards brought him down from the cross, and he was put in his tomb. But they say that then his Essenes brothers went into the tomb, moved the rock, paid off the Roman guard to have the privilege to do so, bribed him, and then they took Jesus away with them. That, in fact, Jesus was there waiting because, he had taken off his wrappings and such. The body wrappings, the cloth, the linen cloth, because he had never died anyway. He had just gone to sleep there on the cross, that he was willing to suffer the indignities and the pains and the wounds in his flesh to be part of the Passover plot. Of course, this is all ridiculous and fantastic, but it shows you the depths of these men of degradation these liars will go to. But my point is that they claim that the Dead Sea Scrolls are proof that the Essene sect not only existed, but in fact were part of the supposed Jesus Messiah plot. And so the Dead Sea Scrolls, they say, it will come out eventually that the Dead Sea Scrolls will prove that Jesus was not God, but simply was part of this Passover plot of the Essenes. Now, again, I want to assure you that there is this horrible plot against the Bible. Did you know that Prince Philip of Great Britain is now in charge of a project, a United Nations project called the Sacred Literature Trust? They're bringing together all of the world's so-called wisdom writings, including, of course, the Bible, the Muslim Quran, the writings of Gautama Buddha, supposedly, and they're going to put them together in something called the Sacred Literature Trust. Here again, an attempt to unite all of the world's religious writings into one. Now, let's get deep into these Dead Sea Scrolls in the limited time we have here. And I want to show you the anti-Christian nature and perhaps the hidden agenda of these scrolls. Now, Mr. John Allegro was one of the original eight Dead Sea Scroll scholars. He wrote a book called The Dead Sea Scrolls and the Christian Myth. Notice the word myth. Mr. Allegro says that the scrolls will prove that Jesus was indeed the leader of the Essene community, and that the scrolls, therefore, do talk about a Messiah or their teacher of righteousness. But of course, he says that the Essenes were basically Gnostics, mystics. In a sense, they were, I suppose, occultists. He said it really the Essenes manufactured Jesus, you might say. And therefore, Jesus has been a fake all along. Now, friends, therefore, Mr. Allegro directly attempts to refute and contradict the Gospels that we have in our Bible and also the book of Acts from our Bible. Now, I also have in my hand right now in front of me a book by Dolores Cannon, a New Age book entitled Jesus and the Essenes. And here again, Miss Cannon says that the Dead Sea Scrolls provide fresh insights into Christ's ministry.
Oh, sure.
She mentions the fact that the Essenes were mystical, were, in effect, New Agers of their day. She points to Martin Larson, who published a book called The Essene Heritage in 1967. Now, my friends, Martin Larson wrote for the Spotlight newspaper. Now, whatever you think about the Spotlight newspaper, and they do have much good information, I can tell you this, Mr. Martin Larson, who recently passed away, who was their almost their in-house expert, supposedly on the IRS and financial matters, Mr. Larson was absolutely a heretic. And in his book, The Essene Heritage, he claimed there was a cover-up. He says that Dead Sea Scrolls were being kept undercover because they would reveal that the beginnings of Christianity were not what the Bible says they were. Well, that's what Miss Cannon says, too, in her book, Jesus and the Essenes. Now, I also want to refer you to another book by a man named Edmund Zeekley called The Essene Origins of Christianity. Here again, and by the way, he dedicates his book to the great god of the forest, the horned god, Pan. Great Pan, the god of the forest, who he wants us all to return to and worship. Pan, the horned god. We're talking, of course, about the devil, although Mr. Zeekley probably would not admit that. He says in this book that Christianity suffers from a great, even a fatal weakness. He says the whole of its ethical and spiritual superstructure rests on a false historical foundation. And how would he know? He said, well, we need the Dead Sea Scrolls. He says there is spiritual depth and beautiful ethics found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And, of course, they will tell you the truth that Christianity is a fake and a hoax. I want to tell you that even these scholars, except for Mr. Allegro, the original eight scholars, they themselves have never, ever claimed that the Dead Sea Scrolls disprove Christianity. Quite the opposite. Why, then, are we getting all of these secondhand stories today from these scholars who claim that the Dead Sea Scrolls disprove Christianity? Now, there is another book I have in front of my hand by a man named Neil S. Fujita, F-U-J-I-T-A. It's entitled A Crack in the Jar, What Ancient Jewish Documents Tell Us About the New Testaments. In the book, although he doesn't blaspheme Christianity so much, he nevertheless says that the Qumran caves of the Essenes prove to us archaeologically that the Essenes believed in the divine mysteries, the esoteric divine mysteries. Now, in the book 12 World Teachers by Manly P. Hall, a 33rd degree Freemason, and perhaps one of the top supposed, I would call it supposed, because I don't recognize that these people are even scholars, he says some very interesting things. Now, Mr. Hall, both the York Rite and the Scottish Rite Freemasons say that he is the 20th century's greatest Mason scholar. In fact, in all of history, human history, only Albert Pike is greater as a scholar than Manly P. Hall, 33rd degree Mason. Now, Mr. Hall also passed away recently, but in his book, 12 World Teachers, he says that the apocryphal Gospels should be believed. He says the Talmud of the Jews, the Babylonian, the horrible book of the Jews that blasphemes Jesus, should be believed. He says that the Dead Sea Scrolls will give us information about the Essenes sect. He says it is quite possible that the historical Jesus was born of parents who were members of the Essene colony, the Essene sect. He says that the Essene sect, if they would have had a leader such as Jesus, they would have sent him to be educated among the Egyptians. He would have gone to ancient India to study. And so what we really have then is Mr. Manly P. Hall, 33rd degree Mason, claiming that Jesus was of the Essene sect and claiming that this has ties with the ancient mystery religions of Egypt and India, claiming even that Jesus must have visited ancient Egypt and India and studied. Now, this is the same as Elizabeth Clare Prophet, the New Age Church Universal and Triumphant, that I expose in my book, New Age Cults and Religions. That's exactly what she says in her book, The Lost Teachings of Jesus. So we have the same thing from Freemasonry as we have from the New Age. Now, at the same time, back to Mr. Edmund Zeekley in his book, The Teachings of the Essenes from Enoch to the Dead Sea Scrolls, is a most incredible assertion. Mr. Zeekley, who absolutely indeed is a Freemason himself, and promotes, by the way, he says that the Dead Sea Scrolls were evidently framed by the early Masons. He claims, I guess, that the Essenes were Masons. And he quotes from the Manual of Discipline, which is one of the Dead Sea Scrolls that have been found. And here is the quote that he gives us from the Dead Sea Scrolls. Quote, "The law was planted in the garden of the brotherhood to enlighten the heart of man and to make straight before him all the ways of true righteousness." And then he talks about the great order and the secrets of inner knowledge. All of this, he says, are found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. In other words, the brotherhood of Freemasonry, the great order or the New World Order, and the secrets of inner knowledge. His book, by the way, The Introduction, is written by one of the best-known British Freemasons, Sir George Trevelyan. Dr. Edmund Zeekley says in his book, The Teachings of the Essenes from Enoch to the Dead Sea Scrolls, he says that the Essene traditions represent a synthesis of all the great cultures of antiquity. He says, quote, "They represent for us a path leading away from Christianity and toward a new knowledge." He says they give us new standards for the new age. And listen to this, my friends. He says that they confirm the teachings of the Jewish Kabbalah. Now, that's a system of mystical magics, of magic. And he says of Freemasonry. And he says that the Dead Sea Scrolls are based on the science of what he calls angelology. In other words, spirit beings. Dark angel spirit beings. Well, the book The Dead Sea Scrolls Uncovered by Robert Eisenman and Michael Weiss. And Robert Eisenman is one of the most respected, supposedly, of scholars on the Dead Sea Scrolls. He is professor of Middle East religions and chair of the Religious Studies Department at California State University at Long Beach. He's author of several books on the scrolls. Although his book does not certainly take an anti-Christian standpoint, he does in Chapter 8 of his book, co-written with Mr. Wise, entitled, again, Dead Sea Scrolls Uncovered, Professor Eisenman says that the Dead Sea Scrolls most definitely give evidence of astrology and divination used by the Essenes. He says that, for example, one Akumram cave work that was found advocates an astrological system. It says such things as, quote, if it thunders on a day when the moon is in Gemini, it signifies fear and distress caused by foreigners, end of quote. He says that the Qumran Dead Sea Scrolls text records the movement of the moon with respect to the signs of the zodiac. He also says that in the Dead Sea Scrolls are found an amulet formula against evil spirits, He says you will find exorcisms and conjurings up in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, I want you to understand, my friends, if it is proposed that the Dead Sea Scrolls really tell the true story about Christianity, then are we to believe that Jesus was a magician? That he traveled to India and to Egypt to be taught there? Are we to believe that he taught ancient signs of the zodiac and astrology, used amulets to ward off evil spirits? No, my friends, these are simply lies that are being put out there. Now, I'm not saying that these scrolls that have been found don't contain these things. They most likely do. Dr. Eisenman, Dr. Zeekly, Manly P. Hall, and the others, no doubt are telling the truth about what the scrolls contain. Although there is some question about that, because as in the newer versions of the Bible, there's a lot of different translations of the scrolls going around, and scholars are arguing about the meanings of words. But what I'm saying is that apparently it's very fitting with someone's hidden agenda that the scrolls discredit Christianity. And if the scrolls paint a picture or portray Christianity in a totally different light than what the New Testament and the Old Testament does, then which are we to believe? Shall we believe the scrolls? Or should we believe our Bibles? Well, of course, you know where I stand on that, my friends. You know, recently in the Lutheran magazine, December of 1992, they had an interview with Dr. Richard Neese, a professor of Old Testament at Luther Northwestern Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. Now, Dr. Neese said something very interesting. He said the Dead Sea Scrolls have forced scholars to do, quote-unquote, textual criticism of the Old Testament. He says that means they try to determine what the original text of that part of the Scripture said. Now, friends, let me just bring this into brass tacks, what this means. What he is saying there is that the Dead Sea Scrolls are now giving these big-shot scholars, and frankly, I don't trust any of these so-called modern-day scholars. I mean, all of them have rejected the truth of God's Word. They've rejected the truth of Jesus Christ again and again. And they're just a bunch of intellectual deadheads. That's what I call the Dead Sea Scrolls. They're being studied by a bunch of Dead Sea deadheads. Well, in any case, they're going to rewrite the Old Testament based on what they find in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Did you know that already some of the new versions of the Bible are being produced by using the Dead Sea Scrolls? That's right, friends. That's another reason why you can't trust these new versions of the Bible, because they may be using these tainted Dead Sea Scrolls that have been given us by Jews who've rejected Jesus Christ anyway, assigned by the Israel government, and in conjunction with the Vatican Jesuits, in conjunction with the Rockefeller Rothschild interest. And we're supposed to trust these Dead Sea Scrolls? My friends, you're going to see some major doctrinal changes suggested in the coming years. People will say this part or that part of the Old Testament, or even the New Testament, cannot be true because the Dead Sea Scrolls say otherwise. And I'm telling you, friends, be very, very careful. These people are adding to and subtracting from the Holy Bible. Now, let me, very quickly, in the short time we have left, let me tell you some of the other Christians who, like me, are very concerned about this. Michael Knibb, in the European newspaper, 3 through 6 December 1992 issue, page 21, says of the Dead Sea Scrolls Uncovered book by Eisenman and Weiss, he says these are very dangerous ideas. He says these are unfounded claims about the Dead Sea Scrolls. Another one, David Briggs, Associated Press, says scholars differ over meaning in the Dead Sea Scrolls. My good friend, Irvin Baxter, of End Time newspaper, November-December 1991, says 40 years later, after finding these scrolls, we're still waiting on the truth. He says even though the scrolls mention the, quote, piercing of a Messiah, some people are talking about a suffering Messiah. Others are talking about a slaying Messiah. In the New Life Digest, published by E.W. Sharp, editor and publisher, he warns us in an article by D. Guide. He says the Dead Sea Scrolls are a deadly deception. They give us another gospel, another Christ. He says the scholars are building upon premises entirely unacceptable. That's what Mr. Guide says in New Life Digest. He says that they're going to try to get rid of the book of Revelation. They're going to try to get rid of the parts of the Bible that they don't believe in. He says, quote, the scrolls have already been used in the translation of the New Revised Standard Version and the New American Bible, which is a Catholic translation. They're already being used, he says, in these fake versions of the Bible. And in the Bible Review magazine, February 1993 issue, it says that the book of John, the Revelation of John is being reinterpreted in the light of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Well, my friends, I want to end by telling you, you can have confidence in God's Word. And friends, it's found in the King James Bible. The great Protestant Reformation, the great missionary effort, millions of people around the world have come to know Jesus Christ. How? Through God's Word. It's intact. It's found from Genesis to Revelation. My friends, don't fall for these apocryphal writings. Don't fall for the hoaxes and the fakes. Believe in the genuine. That's what saves us, the Word of God. Well, friends, this has been Tex Mars. You've been listening to another edition of the Intelligence Examiner. We've been looking at the Dead Sea Scrolls. Write to us, Tex Mars, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. May God richly bless you.